Valentina her music?
I think our drummer is.
So that's a no.
No, I like what I've heard. I haven't.
I am through Peter Gabriel, but yeah. That's.
Most oh, like the me. Don't Give Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah. I need to listen don't to more.
Have you ever heard the Sting version?
He does a version of that song?
No, there's a live version with Sting and his band backing up Peter Gabriel, and it's the funniest thing on YouTube. Because well, it's that. Just, the band obviously didn't learn the song or have time to rehearse it, but the keyboard player's got, like, scrawled notes on, like crumpled paper, and he, like, totally gets lost. The drummer's on the wrong part of the beat, and it and bass, and Sting starts playing, like, the bass part a fifth away from the actual bass part. It sounds just completely ridiculous. And I think it was Sinead O'Connor.
So bass,
yes, and Sinead's Gabriel. Late, right? Doesn't Sinead, like, they're looking for
she
Sinead?
She has a lyric sheet.
She, yeah. Has, she had the, she's reading off a lyric sheet, and then I think that her and Peter Gabriel just, at some point, just were like, this is just ridiculous, and they start laughing.
And they're like, give up.
Give up. Yeah. Yeah, every YouTube comment was like, this version made me give up.
Yeah. No, I think I remember, I mean, maybe it's not the same one, but I remember, like, they're, like, sort of looking around, like, waiting for her, too. They're like, where's Sinead O'Connor? And eventually she kind of appears, and like, she has lyric sheets. Like, I don't know.
I think I'm she doing. Regretted appearing.
was Axl Rose with her when she showed? Because I can't imagine they would speak Axl for Rose? any other reason that they would speak other than just to not be somewhere together.
Mm-hmm. Axl, I don't know anything about Axl late. Rose and Sinead O'Connor. They have a connection?
I don't think so. I think Axl Rose, his whole thing is not showing up. So.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like saying, like, I've never seen them in a room together. So I'm just saying.
So if Sinead, person. If Sinead isn't showing up and Axl isn't showing up, you know, like, how many other places are there on the on the planet?
Form a search party.
It was funny. On the way here, I was listening to Sinead O'Connor and her song, You Cause As Much Sorrow, and I was feeling very grateful that that album came out when I was young, you know, in high school or something. I do not want one I haven't got. And it was just like this phenomenal revelation. And that song in particular, I think, is one of the most gorgeous songs ever written. Just saying. It has this cognitive dissonance. There's this great line where she says, I never said I was tough, that was everyone else, so you're a fool to attack me for the image that you built yourself. Mm. But that sounds just more vicious than I actually mean. I really am soft, tender, and sweet. I love that. She's like, she's like, you're a jerk. Wait, no. Oh, shit, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. Like, who does that in a song? I love that.
So should we play another Noble Dust?
Sure.
Happy, sad, or weird?
Yeah. Weird.
Witness?
Yeah, that's a good weird one. Witness.
So that's going to be track 1, 2, 5, 6. That's actually the next track. So let's get weird. Everybody ready? Strap in.
victim, his jury, and I is his witness. The Red Sea, no pardon, blue mercy like it used to. Why don't you fly? You fly, who make me alive. Oh, you mockingbird, if all the ghost repays me to see you
So you were talking about writing music with somebody who's classically trained.
Yeah, I was saying that in What Time Is It, Mr. Fox, Nathan's background is classical and composing classical, and that's fascinating because, you know, he I think now that he's, when he was younger it was different, but now that he's older he has a lot more folk and pop and a much wider range of music. He was also into West African music a lot when he was in college, but those rhythms and that classical aesthetic informed the way we arranged music, where I was coming from more of like pop and soul and Prince and Janis Joplin and Madonna and Stevie Nicks and very kind of straightforward pop melodies, and sometimes it would be I mean, that's the exciting thing. You put those ingredients in, you're like, oh, that's not the cake I thought we were baking. Cool. Or, ooh, that don't taste good. Let's try something else. I mean, is that, do you guys run into the same thing? Because there's so many different backgrounds, right, in your band?
Yeah, I feel like we're almost half and half, right, with like classically trained people. Our trumpet player, Lindsay, we were just talking about, really likes kind of Baroque music. Our cellist, Caitlin, is into, what would you call it? Angry Russian music. And then
there's a good symmetry in the band. between like the pop and the classical sides.
And then so everyone kind of had their jazz band music theory high school or college experience, and then I went to Catholic school, and my jazz band, this is a true story, played Toto's Africa, and that was our repertoire for the year. So one, I hate that song, but two, I'm very much catching up in terms of music theory and wow. classical music. So
that's fascinating. the other members of our band are pretty diverse. Like Joe Cardoza is our bass player, and he can play anything. Like he has played in so many different types of bands, like Grateful Dead, and that kind of background jam bands, blues, bass, but also like singer songwriter and folk. And you know, with us, he plays mostly the upright, but he plays electric in other places. And Renee, who plays piano and melodica and sings, is classically trained. But so she's, you know, she's singing at church on Sunday often, but she's also, she can really, you know, rip that voice. Like, it's like ripping the curtains and breaking the glasses, and such a huge range. But she can, you know, she can do Led Zeppelin like nobody.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, and then Dennis is the drummer, and he's all over the place too. He loves all different types of music, from sort of 90s trip hop to, more also like the jam band stuff. But he's really into more like sort of modern R&B and hip hop and, yeah, it's like we're all over the place.
Yeah. Same.
So we should remind our audience out there of this fantastic show.
Yeah, March 9th.
Club Passim.
Gonna be a party, a weird party of different influences, lots of cake making, only good cakes.
Lots of band nerds and people who read books. And, you know, are interested in
none of those people that just carry like, books around for show.
Know, well, you never know. You know, there's nothing wrong with that if it looks good. That suits your style. We're very inclusive.
I don't know. I'm kind of like, you know, when I see somebody with a book, I'm like seeing somebody with a Ramones shirt. It's like, name three songs. Well, what's on page 642? I don't believe you're reading that book.
You've been walking around with that same Dostoevsky novel for the last 6 years. Can you quote any of it?
Do you even have it memorized, bro? Oh,
that's funny.
So what do you guys think? Maybe another what time is it, Mr. Fox song?
Heck sure. Yeah.
Off of the old album,
one,
since it's in there.
Let's do something weird. There's a song, Peppermill,
mm-hmm.
that we've been playing a lot lately. It was sort of like a weird, just kind of throwaway song about a dream I had after sleeping with a guy that was I was really into, and we had been writing and back and forth for a long time. I was sort of actual pen pals back in the day, and we finally got together, and then I had a weird dream about him. I didn't know what it meant. So I wrote a song about it.
That's a good story.
So it's up to the audience cool story, to bro. Analyze it.
So let's listen
call
to
in.
It
and then tell us what this dream is about.
And then we'll find out if we approve of the guy.
Jungian, Freudian, yeah. Whatever.
Here we go.
Was that my heart or the metronome? Scratches your funny bone. And I won't run if you turn, turn, turn into a pumpkin in the morning. In the morning. In the morning we stood inside the square. Salt pillars in the salty air. My peppermint, my daffodil, my little oil spill in the morning. In the morning. Feathers, I breathe out. Was it my heart or the telephone? Scratches your comfort zone. And I won't cry if you turn, turn, turn into a pumpkin in the morning. In the
So what was up with that song? What's it about? You tell me.
It was about a dream that you had.
Where'd you hear that?
I think I heard it from you.
It's about pumpkins.
Need right. A few more listens through to really figure it out.
Well, whenever it's like fall, I always think, you know, what it would like to be a pumpkin. In that, because it must be terrifying.
Yeah. It's dark.
I remember when I was in college at UMass Amherst after Halloween when, you know, it was like 6 a.m. or something. We had to go get cigarettes and we were walking through the streets and all of the streets were filled with smashed pumpkins.
No.
Like, it was crazy. It was like a war of pumpkins.
You know. Massacre.
Yeah, exactly. I had never seen anything like it. Hundreds.
So that was what happened after the pumpkins got so drunk. They tried to start a fight with college people. Mm. Yeah. And they lost.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably happened in Central. Maybe Southwest, I don't know.
Is it true that they house you by your first name?
In UMass?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. I lived in
Somebody
Central.
And
like that.
I'm a
that's the David building in there.
Or
they're
like,
all Davids.
Like roommates, like it was supposed to be an icebreaker thing. Maybe it was like a freak
really?
Thing, but it seems like a terrible idea because then there's just like 10.
I did not.
Simon, I'm Garfunkel.
I did not have That'd a good time in that. I had a roommate named Chief.
And, no.
You know, I mean, this is...
That doesn't sound good.
I'm a little older, so at that time there was, like, very little sort of gay representation or gay straight alliances or transgender representation at all, or even... They didn't even care. Like, you just... So, like, hey, I kind of have a homophobic roommate. They're like, what? What's that?
Oh, no.
And so this guy... So I moved in, and the first thing he said to me was, so I have a lot of trouble with buildings. Like, excuse me? Like being inside buildings, it's really difficult for me. And so that started our bromance.
Oh my.
He eventually moved out because, you know, he couldn't be in, so there you go.
He warned you. Wow.
Hopefully he lives where you can, you know, be warm outside.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's still around, you know. Yeah. He came in and he said, I said, what have you been up to? And he said, oh, I just took the fire extinguisher and I was banging it against the floor out there to see if it would explode. And it did. So I cut my hand. So I'm putting duct tape on my hand. Cool.
All of that sounds
great. Who says you can't practice science anymore?
I'm not sure duct tape is like approved for like sanitary purposes.
Chief, if you're out there, you didn't remember that night anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Did you go to college? Or,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Around here?
Or? I went to Harvard undergrad. Mm-hmm.
Bridgewater State. Go Bears. Right.
Yeah. And you're still here?
Still haven't left.
Same apartment?
Different apartment. Been through some interesting apartments. But
All of them or just some of them?
I feel like all of them have been interesting in their own way.
can't name names.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So discreet. I lived with a blue man.
Oh, man.
That was fun.
Such a fun fact.
Yeah. A blue man, a couple drag queens.
Brian is really just about keys and locks. He doesn't care about the rest of the apartment.
Did the blue man speak?
He did, but I never saw him blue. But I remember, I don't know, I guess all blue men know this, like there was so much like face product in the bathroom because he had like, you know, this whole kind of thing he had to follow to take the blue off of his face. Because if he didn't do that,
then he'd be
in
blue.
Violation of...
Oh, wow. It's like, secret?
Yeah. Well, he had to, you know... I imagine the makeup can harm your face if you don't take it off right or something. So they didn't want to, you know, any liabilities or not. So I remember that. There was like this whole like step by step what he had to do to get the blue off and become human again.
But I think now they're just genetically modified. They're part blueberry, and they just grow up that way.
Your Violet. Robot bees, man. Wow. How do you meet a blue man?
He just moved in. my roommate was, she was a drag performer, and I think she maybe knew him from the theater scene or something. And, you know, he was a nice guy. He never gave us free tickets, though. He wasn't that nice, I suppose.
Mm.
It's a long time ago. Somerville.
Do you guys know the band Count Zero?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Peter Moore used to have parties back in the day in Alston, and the three original blue people would show up.
And were they blue?
It would be like Halloween parties, and they would just, I guess they would just come from work and just be blue.
Did they speak?
Yeah, they did, but they were always like together, like a unit.
Yeah.
There weren't just like two blue people or one. It was just the three original ones. Mm. And then later on, Peter sang with them on a tour because, what was it, Dave Matthews had to cancel or something.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow. So how many blue men are there in the world?
I think there are thousands now.
Thousands?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have rotating casts.
Okay.
But they do have to, I think, meet a certain criteria around like height and weight and intensity of their eyes. Or something, yeah. Have you seen the blue men? Have you gone to see blue men?
Just in the Jordan's furniture commercial.
Oh. Have you ever seen Willy Wonka?
I have.
Yeah, they're sort of like Oompa Loompas, but not orange. Like adult Oompa Loompas that have lost their hair and are blonde and, I'm sorry, are blue and, yeah, they kind of, I think they just kind of ran with the Oompa Loompa thing. They don't sing that song, though.
That'd be fun.
But they do, it's a very family-friendly act, which it's challenging to do, like, something that's engaging but also family-friendly, and that, I think that's why they're going to go forever or something.
It's incredibly fun.
It's cool. Mm-hmm.
So quiet.
So should we play another song? If we want to play another song?
Sure.
We could play another Noble Dust song.
Please.
Yeah. Let's do Tin thinking, Armor. Keep things less weird, maybe.
Sure.
We want all types to come out to the show on March 9th at Club Passy.
This is a good song for driving in the snow.
Here we go. So is it like intimidating to play in this historic place, the Club Passim, where these famous people got famous?
Yeah.
Started out?
We were saying earlier, it's intimidating just because everyone's just such a good, quiet listener. I like when there's drunk people screaming and clinking and spilling stuff, and then you don't have to. But no, it's great. It's one of my favorite places to play. So we're excited to be there.
Yeah, they do a great job with the sound, and they put a lot of care into it, which is, you know, always wonderful for a musician when the venue really cares about the music and you know, the culture they're creating there. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, everyone's played there. Dylan, Joni, Odetta. And then I think they just tweeted or put on Instagram the other night, there was like a bunch of, you know, Grammy nominees that had played there. Just like even this year. I think Brandi Carlile played there. So
yeah, two of my favorite kind of now famous Boston folk artists, Josh Ritter and Anais Mitchell, both like got their start at Passim's open mic, which is crazy. So yeah, it's a cool place.
Yeah, she's on Broadway now, right?
I know.
Amazing.
It's another musical crush.
Yep, so we should remind people when the show is.
Yes, Saturday, March 9th.
Very Club Passim.
Get your tickets now. There's some left. They actually are. Yeah. They're actually going. So.
Over half gone.
Yeah.
Well, we're sort of hoping that it's going to be sold out by midnight tonight.
Yeah.
Everyone's home. They're just listening. Well, listening to this music, hopefully. Digging it, and maybe we'll see you. I'm really excited to play with Noble Dust. I have to say, there's not a lot of like bands that that are as eclectic as we are. So it's really nice to hear like so many different types of sounds and aesthetics coming together, and beautiful lyrics, beautiful voice. So
feeling mutual.
Yeah,
liar.
What he said. Absolutely.
But it's going to be a really fun night. Thanks for playing with us. And thanks for having us tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian, from What Time It Is. Is it Mr. Fox? What Time It Is?
And where is it, Mr. Fox?
And
who is it?
Who am I, Mr. Fox? And answer we're my own question. Noble Dust.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay and, warm.
And good luck with the show.
Thank
and
you.
We're going to hear some shills because we're just shilling a show.
Babes and he'd have it all.
Looking back,
should I learn back, a thing?
Back in the rear view,
which
will you be who you thought?
I am
looking back, back,
I laugh, you know?
Back in the rear view.
Am I who I thought I would be when I look back in the rear view?
You're listening to On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. We just heard Lady Godiva from Ruby Rose Fox, Rear View from Old Jack, and Shockheaded Peter from Walter Sickert. And The Army of Broken Toys, and now we're going to hear some Matthew Stubbs and the Antiguas.
Thank you. stand up, pick up my stuff and